Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, everyone. We're back with another episode, another downer in the dumps. Downer in the dumps. We love it.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we knew this was coming. We read the synopses beforehand, so yeah. We knew this one was fast approaching. The way I'm looking at it is like, let's just treat it like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off. Just do it. Yeah. So obviously, if you haven't already noticed in the episode description, trigger warning, we're talking about like sexual abuse, sexual assault, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So if this is not the episode for you, wait until next week, because I think we have a fun one next week. So you can come back if you want to, or re-listen to some previous more fun episodes.
Exactly. Okay, let's just say this ahead of the top in case anyone wants to take a break for this episode. So this week, by the time you're hearing this episode on Thursday, Sanique and I were guests on, I want to say, like, a sister podcast. Like, they're very much, like, of the same genre, the same nation. It's another Canadian teen drama, not from the 80s, oh, yeah, but from the 90s.
They're definitely kindred spirits.
Oh, yes. Like, kindred sister spirits podcast. Sanique and I were invited to be on the podcast, Still Not Ready, which is very similar to our podcast. If you like our podcast, I'm sure you'll love them too. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners also watched the show when it was out called Ready or Not. I think I always want to.
Yes, Ready or Not.
I always get confused with their podcast name.
And yeah. Show name.
But we were on there, and their episode is dropping on this Thursday. So by the time you're hearing this, you can go check it out wherever you listen to podcasts. And yeah, we discussed,
It was about racism. It was
racism,
the,
yes.
Yes, yes. One of the main characters discovers that her father is a bigot.
Isn't it a fun time?
Such a fun time. But it was a fun conversation. I'm really excited to hear the episode.
Yeah, and it's such a fun show. And yeah, we love the host, Amy and Britt. Two Canadians that answered a lot of questions, always about milk, among other things, and Canadian questions. That was always fun. If you want to take a break from this week with the topic of what we're discussing this week of sexual abuse, go check that out. It will be, it's a fun time. It's like a racism episode, but it's like, it's very still lighthearted and fun.
Yeah. I mean, Ready or Not has a similar tone to Degrassi of like after school special. So even when they do talk about serious issues, there still is like room for like laughter. And I think we were able to find that sweet spot. And it was just so much fun. It's always fun. I love being on podcasts.
I know. I mean, me too.
It's like going to a party and not having to worry about cleaning up or doing anything. It's like I just show up and then I leave.
Yes, exactly.
Especially like, now it's your problem.
Especially during these pressing times, it's very much like, oh, we're just hanging out with the girls, just having a party, a little bit of a sleepover, you know?
Like, yeah, just me and the girls as Amanda Kaczynski would say. Me and the girls is.
Yes, we love you, Amanda. So yes, a little bit of housekeeping with that. I want to give a shout out to one of our newer listeners she has many names, which reminds me of living in Arkansas. I think she has her maiden and married name and then her first and middle name. I'm only going to give you her first and middle name.
So I'm like, don't put this girl's whole government name on blast.
Come it just
on
reminds now. Me of living in Arkansas when it's like everyone is like Sarah Clinton. No, what's one of them? Sarah Marie. Like everyone goes by their first and middle name. So I'm like, it just reminds me of that. But One of our newer listeners, Mary Alice, shout out to you. She sent us a message. She's started listening to the podcast and is kind of going through. She actually just messaged us this morning talking about, we talked about playing the recorder. Like, we were all first to play the recorder in third grade, which I forgot about.
I remember that. I think we talked about, like, playing hot cross buns or some shit. Yeah.
And she is saying that because of COVID, her son had to learn ukulele instead of the recorder. She attended 5 recorder concerts of his siblings, so I guess her other children. So,
oh my God, bless you!
I know, God bless you, Mary Alice. You probably know a good hot cross buns tune or two, you know. And she also sent us a really cool article, which I will try to repost or find some way of sharing either on Facebook or on Instagram, of a article about Degrassi Junior High. What do they look like now? And, you know, because I feel like in general,
I love articles like that. Oh my God, I love, yes. Like, a where are they now? I do it all the time journalism. For like reality TV. Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll try to repost that. But shout out to you, Mary Alice. Thank you so much for listening. Happy to have you. And let's see if there's any other news. Not much. No, I think that's it.
Cool. Thank you, Mary Alice. We love to hear from our listeners. Always so exciting.
I know.
Just for a new one. It's like, yes. Baptism by fire.
Ha ha ha. Recorders.
We've got her in our clutches. It's like, we're a cult. No, we're not. I wanted to also plug, just a reminder, Patreon. If you're listening to this, obviously, and you're listening to it with ads, there's a way to listen to it without ads. You can go ahead and subscribe to the Sell Listen Network Patreon, get ad-free content from us, as well as bonus content. We're going to have, this is going to come out this week as well, because usually they drop on Fridays, but our final Degrassi Talks doubleheader bonus will be dropping this Friday as well. So if you want to listen to that, and it's a fun one, it's the drugs and sexuality.
Ooh.
Sexuality.
And like,
sorry. I sang it to Vibology and I realized how annoying that probably was. I'm sorry.
I think, you know what? They appreciate it. They're here for it. I'm here for it. But yeah, both topics were kind of lighthearted. They could have delved into it a lot more depressingly.
The drugs one was like, it was depressing, but not for the reasons I thought it would be.
Yes.
Yes. Just like definitely. A lot of like Canadian people starting drugs at like 9. And I was like, oh my God, like clutching my pearls is like. But you guys can check that out. And then you can also check out tons of other amazing content on the Sell Listen Network. Free Britney just happened, or everyone's talking about Free Britney. Check out Troy McKeady's episodes on Britney on the Dunzo podcast. We're obsessed. I'm actually just listening to, he does album reviews sometimes, and he did Oops, I Did It Again. Yeah. Sorry, oops, .. I did it again. Yeah. So if that's your jam, check that out as well. Really great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you're now bitten by the Free Britney bug, don't worry. Troy's got you covered.
Troy should have been in that fucking documentary, that New York Times, Framing Britney. It should have just been him, like, just talking straight to camera. Him and Felicia. Like, no, it should have been Troy interviewing Felicia. Oh my God, that would have been such a good documentary. It's just like Troy does a sit down with Felicia, like a Diane Sawyer, and he's just like, just like having a whole dialogue. Yes. Okay, I'm pitching it. Troy, get your people on the horn. We're calling
Felicia. Your people will call her people. It'll be great.
We'll produce it. We'll make it. It's gonna be so good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
love that. Oh,
I'd pay good money for that.
Top dollar for that. Man, I would, yeah, that would be such a good documentary. But yeah, check out the Patreon for cool bonus content and for more of our stuff. Do you want to jump into the episode?
Let's jump right in.
I think we skipped. Usually we ask each other how we're doing. We kind of did that before we started recording, and nothing's new. It's still a panorama, like
a panorama.
It's still a Pan's Labyrinth. Like it sucks here.
We're here. We showed up. That's about as good as we can get, you know?
Yeah, I'm alive.
Full stop, period.
Full stop. I don't know what to tell you. But this week we covered season 2, episode 6, Cross Wires, air date December 10th, 1990, synopsis. Liz begins to have repressed memories of being sexually abused as a child.
Ooh, child.
Okay,
I want to put it out there immediately before I forget to say it. Classic Degrassi, this episode, I feel like, showed child molestation and what the reality could look like.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they did it well, and they didn't shy away from anything, but in a good way that was just like
it wasn't gratuitous.
Yes, and it's like this is the shit that happens, and mm-hmm. we're not gonna sugarcoat it, but we're gonna keep the shock, or not the but you know what I mean, like the horror of
the experience. Yes, I agree with that. I was very uncomfortable watching it, and not in they did a bad job, but more in just mm-hmm. this is, I mean, the subject matter is uncomfortable. I mean, it'd be weird if I was comfortable watching it. Someone arrest me. But I was uncomfortable in a way that was they really, I think, did a good job of showing a very honest depiction, and especially the after effects, the long-term after effects of what abuse looks like in terms of, I mean, they never name it, but it's PTSD, what Liz is experiencing. And I appreciated that. I really did. I appreciated that as well.
Yeah.
It could have been bad.
Exactly. And the fact that, that this was shown in, 1991, 92, mm-hmm. On a teen show, because I feel like they kind of, I feel like the only time I've ever said this was in comedies, or in comedy, right, when it's they let a joke sit and let it become funnier, mm-hmm. You kind of sit in the moment, and I feel like they did that here, but the uncomfortableness that we were talking about, they sat in that, because it's we're not gonna we're not gonna cut this scene short, or we're not gonna use euphemisms to kind of make mm-hmm. you feel more comfortable watching this. This is the truth, this is the reality, and we're gonna sit in it because this is what really happens and this is what people experience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, we'll be back after a quick break. So the episode starts off with Liz is in bed and she appears to be having a nightmare, which is confirmed, and we're brought into the nightmare. And I thought it was really artistic the way they chose to shoot it, because I feel like it almost juxtaposes the sweet innocence of a child's bedroom. Because something about the coloring in there is very bright, but it's very unsettling because it isn't this kind of pastel kind of girly bedroom, mm-hmm. but this very sinister thing that's happening. And even the abuser is lit in a very pastel way. He's wearing yellow. It's very bright in a very almost Alice in Wonderland kind of feeling. It's kind of weird, surrealness of it, which I thought was like, for Degrassi, was like, that's actually an interesting artistic choice of kind of like showing what it looks like to be an innocent child and to also experience this really awful thing, but in a place that is otherwise safe for you. Mm. I thought that was like pretty like, okay, art school, okay, film school.
Like the whoever's in charge of like not cinematography but like lighting and kind of, staging, I guess,
art direction type of thing, yeah, and staging. And I was like, that's like interesting choice. I appreciate it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the specifically with these, I agree. The specific with these, because this is the first kind of like nightmare flashback dream that we see. That there's, I think, at least gonna be one other one that we see in this episode. And something that stuck out immediately to me was that the person portraying the abuser was a normal presenting, like, average person. He was in a shirt and tie. He wasn't some like decrepit drifter wandering through town, you know, like the classic of like, oh my gosh, the stranger coming into the house and abusing and raping our children.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like, he wasn't creepy necessarily. He just looked like he could work at like your bank, your local bank. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. And I feel like that imagery, along with the imagery of like very much like the colors and the setup of the room. And it wasn't, which was interesting, like the, I don't know if this is a purpose or not, but like it wasn't a dark kind of like shadowy room. It was very bright. And yeah, it was very and I think even like the scenes depicting in the nightmare, obviously with the music, and we hear like Liz's kind of like like, oh my gosh, no, stop, please. Like, she's verbally saying, like,
real, you know, Liz, yeah.
Yeah.
Through her dream,
But the scene isn't super dark, almost kind of like maybe showing it's like at that age, like, you don't really know the true, like, you know, it's not something good happening to you, but you also don't know to the extent of how bad it is at that age.
Yeah,
possibly. There's just a lot. Listen, with this imagery, like, there's just a lot. They just did a good job. They did a very good job.
There's a lot to unpack in the way they chose to like stage the entire thing, and definitely adds to how unsettling it is.
So unsettling. And the most unsettling part was the transition of the end of the scene.
Oh my god. The goddamn, I wrote in bold capital letters, that goddamn theme song. Because the scene ends with young Liz, who's hiding under a blanket, and the man sits down next to her and he says, "You want this, don't you, Liz?" Which is so fucking, it gave me chills. I was like, oh my god, I'm nauseous. And then, I'm like, what? No! Like,
what stop. The fuck?
Degrassi, stop doing this. You can't keep doing that.
Like, oh my god. This is the worst one yet. Like, this is absolutely the worst one yet. I don't know.
Agree.
Like, Degrassi, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you did all this hard work. Just give us a straight to black and transition to the next scene. Like, you don't have to give us the theme song after
You
that.
Know, my closest, my one thing that another show that did this that reminds me of it is, so spoiler for Buffy, if you've not watched Buffy yet.
It's been a long
also,
time.
Also, fuck Joss Whedon. Fuck you, you fucking abuser. But, hate him, but like, I hate that he tainted something I love so much now. It's like, ugh, you're so awful. But anyway, Buffy has an episode where I'll just say, I won't spoil it. It's been like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
A important person in Buffy's life dies. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
And Buffy, the scene is, it's actually one of, I think, the best episode of the entire show. And I think you know what episode I'm talking about, the one called The Body. And mm-hmm. it's her, like, she discovers the body of this person. And it's really heart-wrenching, like gut-wrenching, and like the first, yeah. the cold open where she sees this person, she's trying to wake them up, realizes them they're dead. She says their name, and it's very like, shit. And then, bow, down, bow. It goes right to the face, and it's like, no.
Come on.
It's like, oh, we're having a real emotional moment, and it's just like, they have to do the theme song, I guess, because it's just, you just have to do right. it. But it's like,
yeah. I think that's finally something that, like, newer TV shows, I mean, like, they've done it to the extreme now where, like, there's, like, not even a theme song anymore on TV shows.
Yeah.
But now they've done
so few shows have a theme song.
Exactly. But then, like, it's like, we can also have something in the middle, like, maybe on a serious episode, we don't need to cut straight into the uppity jam that is the theme song. Maybe we don't need that. Maybe we don't need to jump into a guitar solo, Buffy, you know? Like, maybe that's not the time.
Especially because that theme, it's always the shows with the most, like, kicking theme songs. Because that theme song is, like, I throw my ass to that theme song.
Yeah,
I do. Yes. Especially with the part when it goes, when, like, they have, kind of, like, the little breakdown. And you have, like, the drums and, like, the tambourine. It's like, down, 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 down. It's the part where I really go off during that part. And I'm just, like, traumatized.
Man.
And I can't throw my ass in the circle the way I want to.
Come on now. Come on. Let me live my best life.
Right. But yeah, the grassy never learns. But in our first scene after that abomination, we see BLT and Cindy walking down the hall, and BLT bumps into Michelle. And I'm like,
I didn't
ooh.
See
and
this. She's
like, you didn't catch that? No. Yeah, it's because it's not important. I thought BLT and Cindy would be an important part of this episode. They're not. They just are walking. And I was like, oh, like, they just like are walking down the hall. Michelle's walking the opposite way. BLT and Michelle bump, and Michelle whips around and looks at him. They look at each other, and it's like, oh, and she keeps walking. And it's like, oof, that's not over yet. Like, that tension is still there. But it transitions over yeah. to Tim and Snake, who yes. are – we have never established that Tim is this close to Snake. So I was like
– no.
It felt very random. I wish he was talking to Nance. Like, at Listen. Least he and Nance have an established relationship.
This I don't even know what you would call it, this weird, like, plot that they gave to Tim, like, where it's just like, hey, Tim, you're gonna be friends with Snake this episode, and you're gonna be madly in love with Liz.
Someone we've never seen, someone we also never seen you speak to this entire show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, absolutely.
It's like, y'all gonna do that to Tim? He has been giving us everything. He and Nancy have been the best background characters. Like, just yes. making sure they're, like, giving us those little sound bites in the background. Tim, like, what was it? There was a time that Kathleen's mom was drunk and he went over there. He's like, this place is a mess.
That's a day when Tim and Nancy, like, bonded. Because, like, you know, after that happened, because remember Nancy also made comments, they left and they, like, walked. Yeah, they walked home together and were like, so, like, what was that? Like, right. They just, like, became besties after that moment.
Right. And then there was the time that he witnessed Shane buying acid with Luke. And yes. then, like, and then being like, oh, fuck, Shane's jumped off a bridge. That's a lot for me to handle. You know him. You know he called Nancy. He's like, Nancy, let me tell you what just happened.
He's like, Nancy, babe, you'll never really. Because also, we've already headcanon Tim is gay. Like, I'm sorry, Tim is gay in right? my mind.
Like, if... There's something, right?
Yeah, I take Tim as coded as queer. I feel like I can say that queer, as a queer person. Yes. He is yes. Tim is queer in my eyes.
Yes,
like that just is my is my perception of him. So, I mean, he has a, maybe he's bi. Like, you know, Tim does give me bisexual dude vibes. Like, mm-hmm. he's bi.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that he's a queer character, but they didn't acknowledge that at all. But yeah, they're like, here, Tim, here's a bone. We'll throw it at you. Here's a random ass plot line.
Hey, you want to be in a scene? And he's like, right. And like, we need someone to like Liz. You up for it?
It's like, okay.
He's like, fine. He's like, give me the script. But Tim's talking to Snake, and he's like, he has a crush on a girl and wants to ask her out to a show, and the crush is Liz. And it's the Pogues, and I was like, oh, wow, they actually shout out the name of a real band for once and not just, like, we've seen Spike wear, like, a Pogues t-shirt, but we've never heard them talk about music that wasn't, like, Gourmet Scum or, like, it within their universe of bands. So good for them. But Tim won tickets to see the Pogues, and Liz is a huge Pogues fan. So Snake is like, go ask Liz. Like, this is a good opportunity.
Right.
And I'm like, true. And he does ask Liz, but she's like, I have a lot of homework. So no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, she and Spike are talking again. I was like,
yeah,
was that resolved? I guess off screen.
Yeah, I would have liked a little bit more continuity in that storyline, but you know,
yeah, especially because they left off on such a very bad tone.
Yeah,
and then according to the episode or to the show, Spike was in the wrong. So I assumed that Liz and Patrick would continue seeing each other, but I guess not. So it's very like, I wonder if this episode was, like, filmed.
Yeah.
It was originally written to happen before Liz's... Before Liz and Patrick, and then they released it later. Because it is odd that it doesn't make sense that, especially since we just got off of an episode where Liz was talking to a guy. Which isn't to say that she says in the episode that these nightmares happen, they come and go, so it definitely... doesn't mean that just because she's had these nightmares, it means that she constantly is afraid of intimacy.
Right.
She could have been able to, but it just kind of is disjointed to be like, wait, but last episode she was talking to Patrick and that seemed to be like she was comfortable in that space, and then suddenly it's not that. So yeah. I feel like something happened.
Yeah, I think so too. Very disjointed.
Yeah. Well, maybe we're nitpicking, or I'm nitpicking, but it just felt weird. I was like, oh, okay. Because that was last episode, right?
It was last episode.
Okay.
We're nitpicking, but also, like, this is our job. Like,
that's true.
You know? Like,
that's what you're here for.
This is what you sign up for. This is why you employ us with your listening minutes and hours.
Yeah, that's true. Excuse me. But in the cafeteria, Alex and Tessa are making plans. And they split up, and Alex sits with Arthur and Yek. And he's like, yeah, we went to the planetarium, but they still haven't kissed yet. And I was like, this is the most random trio of people. Like,
so random.
It's so random. Also, I didn't know that Yek still hung out with Arthur. I thought Yek was, like, doing acid with Luke somewhere. Like,
thank you. Yeah, I'm wondering, the reconnection of Yik and Arthur, I'm like, ugh, Yik must have had no one else to sit with at lunch or something.
Yeah, Luke is at home with the flu, so he's like, I guess I'll sit with Arthur. Yep. Mm-hmm. Boring ass. And then this other fucking idiot with jorts and a blazer. Like, what kind of look is that? You know, because you're like, Yik has become a fashionista at this point. He's just like, What is this? What is this look?
I also love
that. That's not drip. That's not the drip. You are dry, okay?
You are dry as hell. What I loved about this conversation was Alex is like, yeah, like, you know, I really want to kiss her, but, like, I just don't know when the right time is, and blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, trying to, like, bounce ideas or, like, trying to get information from Arthur and Yik. And then Yik says something to Arthur about, like, oh, like, what would you know about, like, going on dates or something. And then Arthur comes back and is like, well, did you ever kiss Melanie when you went on that date back in like junior high? It was like, their banter back and forth was funny. And then it's like, out of the three of them, Alex with his jorts and blazer is the one that's like about to like go like touch a boob and like kiss someone.
Yeah, that's like finger someone at the planetarium. It was just wild to me because I feel like the order, I think if we're talking about, I'm not gonna say attractiveness because that's, I don't want to insult these people's looks. However, in terms of abilities to pull, I feel like Yik would be one because Yik is cool. He has an earring, you see.
Hello.
Okay. He's got an earring. He has hardship. He has like a story. Like he's the son of refugees. Like he has some flavor to him. Like he's got something like going on, you know?
It's like that classic thing of like, you've had some troubles in your life that like makes you hot. Like you've had struggle. And, like, you're a little bit jaded.
Yeah. Hardship makes for hard dick.
Listen.
We love a king who's been through shit.
We love it.
A little broken bird.
As someone that most definitely has fallen into that trap of like, well, you know, like, he's like, his like dad died when he's young and like he's been through some shit and he kind of has like a jaded sense of humor about it. I like it. Like, yikes. Run away, Lord. Run away. It's not a good idea.
He's deeply traumatized.
Yeah, basically. I'm trying to retrain my brain to be like, Lauren, you should not be instantly attracted to this. You should just be like, ask some more questions. Figure out what his coping mechanisms are.
Lauren loves like to see a red flag and then just pick it up and start waving it. Like she waves it herself. She's just like, it's like the end of
Come here, over here, I'm waving your red like flag. Come
at
on.
At the end of Les Mis with the flag.
Can you hear the people sing? Da, 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 da. Yeah, that's me. Come on
singing
over.
Singing the song of traumatized men.
Ooh, we love it. We love it. Leading
the charge. But so like Yik's the hottest. And then like second to him is Arthur because he's rich. Like
he's rich.
He has a leather jacket.
Yeah.
He's well traveled. He's cultured.
Yeah. And like
Arthur could treat you to like interesting exotic things that he paid for. Right. Well, his mom paid for, you know.
Right. Yeah, Alex is definitely not like the like what's the term you use? Not dateable. Or is it dateable?
I didn't say dateable, but like he's not pulling anyone. I'm sorry. Oh, right, like right, Alex right, yeah. is not realistically the one who's the closest to like touching a booby. Compared right. to Arthur and Yik?
No.
Come on now.
No.
Also, Silik Sasanasi? Is that how you say his last name?
Oh, Yik?
Sasanasi, I think.
Listen, you guys are like name kindred spirits.
I know. We have two S's and also they're complicated. But he does the drugs one, and happy to realize that when he filmed that he was 19 because he was kind of a babe in that.
Oh my god!
The Jurassic talks. I was like, Yik is like.
listen. If you guys need more convincing about to go listen to our bonus content on the Solid List of Patreon, like Yik is looking like a full on snack in Degrassi Talks, okay? Like
he is. And he's trying to play like, oh, like kids don't do drugs. You know Yik be like, Yik be getting blazed.
Oh
Yik,
my like, god.
Yik stay with the weed. He's holding all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like Yik is the person.
If I were 1990, I would have absolutely smoked with Yik. I mean with
Oh
Silik.
My god. I would have I would have gotten some very unhealthy habits with him, and I wouldn't have cared at all.
Oh, I would have taken up smoking just to impress him.
Oh, my God, yes. When he was like, I smoke, and I was like, yeah, me too.
Same. Parliament's. It's mine. Favorite. It's my favorite cigarette.
Can I bump a cigarette off of you, Yick?
American Spirit?
Oh, my God. You know he fucking smokes American Spirits. Or he, like, rolls his own cigarettes. Oh,
he rolls his own cigarettes. He, like, has, like, behind his ear.
Oh, like, Sadiq.
I would never date a smoker, but I think smokers are hot. But I wouldn't date one because they stink. I'm sorry, it's the time.
It's the time. No, because especially it's like the early 90s, almost mid-90s. Like, Yick, long hair, Yick with the earring and rolling his own cigarettes. Oh. Peak, just like cool smoking phase. Mid-90s, forget about it. I would have had lung cancer by now. It's fine. But if we're rolling our own cigarettes, then we're classy about it. We just cough a lot. Yes,
I have lung cancer. Yeah. You guys make it fancy. But it seems like, oh, in that same scene, we get quick one with Tessa talking to Arthur. I mean, sorry, Dorothy.
Shade.
I've done that already. I can do that joke. I'm sorry. It's hilarious.
It never gets old.
It never gets old. It's literally the same face. It's so bizarre. But Tessa's talking to her, and she's like, oh, my God, like, Alex won't kiss me. So both of them are, like, waiting for the other person to step it up. Right. Tessa's like, I can't kiss him because then he'll think I'm easy. And I'm like, ooh, Tessa, can't wait to talk about school's out, girl.
Listen,
hot girl summer, hot girl Tessa.
Can you imagine, like, okay, because I'm assuming Alex is Tessa's, like, first boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then, but then she, like, I feel like she's, like, she, like, likes Alex, but she's, like, not, Alex isn't hot, right? Alex is a nice guy that, like, you, like, meet, like, later in college. You really love him. He likes to cook and snuggle, and, like, you marry him. But, like, you're not, like, wanting to, like, twerk on Alex at the high school dance. Like, that's not high school Tessa.
Well, my takeaway from Tessa is that I think Tessa's not recognized her, like,
hotness
yet. Because remember, like, when we first met Tessa, Tessa was, like, a itty-bitty little girl. And she still kind of has that feel, but she definitely is growing up. Like, she definitely is maturing and, like, growing up to, like, a very, like, beautiful, like, young woman. But I think she hasn't, like, because she's still hanging out with Dorothy. Like, I think that's her problem. Like, she needs – I'm sorry, but, like, you're hanging out with Dorothy.
Because literally, what is Dorothy – Dorothy's like, she's like, what would I know about dates? Like,
exactly. Like, you're asking Dorothy what she thinks about kissing a boy. It's like,
come on.
Sorry, but, like, it's not happening. Tessa, and I'm saying this as someone who was not kissing boys in high school either. I'm like, why would you be asking me advice? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like, Sadiq and I had each other, and we're like, yeah, so, like, reality TV, like, that must be great.
Like, wow, kissing looks like fun. Can't wait till I get to experience it. can't wait till I get to have fun, too. I think Tessa's not recognized, like, her hotness yet. Mm-hmm. So, like, Alex is still kind of, like, the kind of guy she's, like, trying to date. And, like, waste her time over, basically. Because, like, he wears jorts and blazers, honey. Like, she has cute little outfits in this episode. And you're walking around with this fool. Okay. With them Coke bottles and his jorts. His Bermuda jorts.
Bermuda jorts.
Oh, my God.
Okay, quick thing. You know how, like, every school has them? They're, like, this, like, kind of, I mean, like, not, like, super, super, like, hot, macho guy, but, like, just, like, a guy. But he's, like, kind of nerdy, but for some reason, like, has, like, some sort of confidence. Like, I feel like, again, you have to have some sort of confidence to wear a blazer every day to school, and to talk to strangers consistently about fundraising money. Like, that gives you, you have to have some sort of confidence to have that, right?
This is true.
And so I feel like Alex, because you think, like, they're in high school, and Alex is, like, he got up the courage in high school to ask a girl out, which, I mean, some people still don't have that courage, right?
Yes.
So, and so I feel like there's always that, like, kind of, like, just kind of, like, you know, guy that later in life you're going to friend zone, but early in life, like, kind of has the courage to ask a girl out. So a girl's like, okay, like, I'll go out with you because, like, that's the first one that will ask you. But, like, but then eventually you realize you're like, oh, actually, I'd rather have someone else. Like, I feel like that's like a, that every school has a few of those.
Yes.
And, like, I just think it's so fascinating because it's like, yeah, it's like you think about, like, people that were, like, I think about people that were, like, not popular people, but, like, people that were fucking. Like, people that are fucking and, like, going on dates and, like, doing things in school that aren't, like, the popular kids. Or, like, the, like, kind of weird but confident kids, you know?
Yeah. Kind I mean, of, like, a lot of times weirdness can breed confidence because, like, if you're, if you're, like, willing to run down the hallway like you're in Naruto... then, like, you have a confidence in you, like, mind. I'm afraid you of. Like, because if you're willing to be that out loud fucking weird in high school, you have, you're so confident. Like, you have a confidence of an adult, which I envy.
Oh, my God. To have that? There's, like, that.
Like, you're
that
wearing a trench coat and you're
bitch, 15. Why would you literally think? I think.
I think we're talking about the same person.
Because, I remember looking back and I'm like, they were fucking. Like, they were doing stuff back in high school that, like, I wasn't doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and maybe if we had just been, like, openly weird, because we were weird. Like,
I know.
We are weird now as adults, but, like, I think we just are adjusted. But I think if we had just been willing to be openly weird and not give a fuck about it, we might have touched a genital or two.
We might have gotten our genitals touched and touched some genitals. Like, it would have been...
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
yeah,
it could have, but then I'm like thinking, like, maybe that's where, like, you know, the band camp, you know, vibe comes from.
Yeah,
so
oboe players are freaky.
Listen, I wouldn't know, but I guess I believe it.
Evan used to play the oboe.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, he's an oboe player. I played the clarinet.
Oh, yeah, you guys are band geeks together.
Yeah, that gets pretty pretty wild over Casa de Zunitsuno. Let's just say we make some beautiful music together. Okay. You know, give it a bop, bop, bop. Okay. Okay, so Spike and Liz are hanging outside, and Spike is like, wow, I can't believe you turned him down. Like, you love the Pugs. The Pugs. I don't know why I said it like that. Pugs. You love the Pugs. They're Canadian. You love the Pugs. And Spike asked her why. She said no. And Liz is just like, you know, I'm not really into dates. And I'm like, but we saw you on a date. That's why they fucked up the order. They had to fuck up the order of these shows, because this show, because it's like, we literally saw her go on a date last episode. But okay,
exactly, because you know, if it was an order, Spike would have been like, the argument would have been reignited, being like,
yeah, well, she's like, I'm not like really into dates, and she's like, oh, you were into it last week, and she's like, was that supposed to mean? I'm like, you know what that means? They would start fighting. Like,
I know.
Yeah, you, I think they switched her. Bitch, you know what you did. So Spike starts to get goad Liz to, like, reconsider, and, like, at the very least, you can just go as friends, like, go see your show, like, you love them. So she goes over to Tim, and she's like, do you sell the ticket? And he's like, yeah. Snake had the ticket, but he forfeited it because he's a solid friend. And now they're going to go to this concert, but as friends. I love Tim's hair. It looks like very Basquiat. Like, I like it. And so,
I don't,
like,
know what that is.
Oh, sorry.
A thing?
Mm-hmm. Basquiat was like an artist from like the late 80s in New York. And he was like very cool. He was a black artist. If you Google him and you see some of his work or even a picture of him, you've seen him before. But like that look is very like kind of like a cool, funky, kind of like New York, like artsy black guy look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I def- because I think the
you've seen
the, that look is kind of coming back, like where it's like to varying levels. So there's like the very like kind of like, oh, like I made my hair look like this kind of look, where it's like, you know, a fade on the side and then like the dreads or braids on top.
And then, yeah, like the kind of the free form locks that are just kind of like doing their thing.
Yeah. And then there's also like where it's like the 2021 American spirit smoker. it's like more like the Tim look or the artist that you were talking about, like where it's like very free form. It's like, oh, like, you know, like I just let my hair live in its natural state. Like I don't mess with it at all.
It's very Bushwick. It's very like like Tim after this, Tim moves to Bushwick and like lives his happy queer artist life, playing the piano.
Like seeing a man like this with hair like this in a non put together way, like he's just like letting it go. Like his mattress is on the floor. Possibly has like 5 roommates.
But the mattress on the floor is a choice. Like he could actually go get a bed frame, but like he's kind of going for like a disheveled loft apartment look. Yeah. So he's like mattress on the floor. Like you're gonna love it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna ruin my credit. It's fine. I see where this is going.
Yes, of course. In our next scene, we see Dwayne, which I was very happy to see him, but he's sitting alone and his little cronies come over. They're still fucking with Joey, which I'm like, y'all are so late. Like, why are you guys still bullying Joey? Like, leave him alone.
At least move on to someone else.
Yeah, go find a new, like, target. Go bully Alex. Alex is walking around with jorts on. Like, go bully that kid. That kid needs to be bullied. Right? He needs to be bullied, so he doesn't wear those anymore. So they want to hang out with Dwayne, but he's like, you know, not really into it. And it's like, it's very clear that Dwayne has been like kind of separating himself from his friends. Yeah. And he like actually defends Joey because they're like planning on like fucking with Joey again. He's like, just leave him alone, and like leaves. And he just like doesn't want to deal with them anymore. So
did you hear, is it the scene that his friend is like, what is he blackmailing you? And I was like, who comes up with that as like
the reason? Yeah, he accessed that really fast.
I was like, well, okay, you know something. Let's
yeah, I feel like my first thought of like, oh, like what is he like your best friend now? Or, like I would like make a tease him in that way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm surprised his homophobic ass was like, oh, it's your boyfriend now or some shit. Exactly. But like, no, he's like, what is he blackmailing you to keep a deep dark secret that you don't want anyone to know, not even us?
It's like, that's a very specific explanation, sir.
It's like, why do you know that?
It's so ridiculous.
It is.
I wonder, I really hope that the, like, I don't know, I'm just like, I hope that wasn't written in the script and that he just made a mistake, like, improv, like banter or something. And he's like, damn it, I'm not supposed to know that. My character's not supposed to know that.
And they just didn't like retake to the take because like film is expensive, so like we just keep rolling. It's fine. Like we can't listen, he like is borderline illiterate, we can't keep going back because he never gets his line straight. Exactly. Let's just like keep doing this. But it's after their date and we get a, that was a good movie, eh, from Alex.
Oh my God.
As he's so walking, we get a double A because he asks, "Is that was a good movie, eh?" And then he goes, "That was a fun evening, eh?" Like later, and I'm just like,
"Oh, Alex,
it's just a lot." Oh my God, can I tell you, I had a dream about wheels last night.
Girl, please tell me about it. Tell us it was, all about it.
It was really weird. So I had a dream I was at Degrassi in like the 90s. And I was like a teenager, and I was like, it was like after school, and I was like hanging out in like the parking lot, and my friends were like the stoners, and we would hang out, but they left for some reason. Or they had detention. That's what happened. They had detention.
Okay.
So I didn't have like a ride home. So I was like, oh man, like, cause like my friend, I guess, always drove me, but they were like in detention. So I was like, oh shit, I have to walk home. And then I ran into Wheels, who has a car, and he's like, do you need a ride? And I was like, yeah. And he asked me on a date. Yeah, I was like, yeah, God. Sure. And I went home to my parents, and they're really strict. And I was like, I'm sorry, like, can I go out with Derek? And they were like, this shit was so weird. And it, like, my dad was like, trying to be like harsh. And I was like, Derek is a nice boy. Derek's parents died twice. Like,
listen,
he's a nice boy.
He's a nice boy.
It was so weird. Yeah. And
oh
I woke
my
up.
Gosh. Do you have the hots for wheels?
No, it just is a weird dream.
Okay.
I watch Degrassi every week. It's just in my subconscious.
There now. It's there.
Yeah, it's there forever. But anyway, that was a quick detour. I just needed to tell you that. But
we needed that. Thank you.
It's relevant. It's relevant for like this conversation. Right. So they get home. They get home and it's like an awkward kind of like, oh, okay, that was a cool, nice time. And they look like they're about to kiss, but then Alex chickens out and leaves. And I was like, girl, Tessa, just kiss him. Kiss him, girl. Stop all this bullshit. Just like grab him by the shoulders. Just kiss him in the face. He would love it.
Exactly. He really would. I feel like I've recently been in this situation of like...
Ooh.
I know. It's
Do tell.
A confusing of like... it. What am I saying? I'm confusing. When to make the move?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of situation. I felt Tessa's pain.
Yeah, that is it is awkward. That kind of trying to gauge where people are, which means it was just like the theme of this episode starting, is about communication and like, you know. What's going on? We don't know what's going on. Like that kind of awkwardness, which is especially heightened when you're a teenager and with very little experience. Around the same time, Tim and Liz are walking home after the concert and they're laughing. You know, it seems like they had a good time. Liz is like, can't invite you in because my mom, you know, is asleep or whatever. So like, you can't come in. So it's fine. And he's like, yeah, you want to do this again? And she's like, yeah, it'll be great. And then this is when the not so great thing happens. She's trying, which is not against Tim. She's trying to open the door. So she moves forward to open it. But it does look like she's leaning into him so that he kind of – he misinterprets it as like a lean in for a kiss. And he goes for a kiss. And she really interesting touch because she has like an episode where she's like, no, get away, get away. And she says, get out of my room and like kind of – you know, slips into the nightmare that she's been having happening. But then she like runs inside and he's just like, what did I do? It's like, what?
Yeah, it was. Yeah it was, I mean, the way that it was staged and acted out, I thought was good. Cause it was like, it very much like you could very clearly see of like how Tim was interpreting the situation and how for Liz it was just literally just like her movement to get the door and
goes for a kiss from her point of view. It's like totally non-consensual for him. It's like, oh, like that was like a, you know, a signal for like go for it.
So, and that was, and obviously, you know, as a viewer, we know like why this was happening for Liz. And so that was very kind of fortunate because her reaction and her like being triggered like was very like from 0 to 30 kind of like she's very, very on edge, obviously. Like she was on edge to begin with her originally saying no to Tim, and then she kind of let her guard down to go and like enjoy the concert with a friend, and then this happens and she's like, fuck, like she's just like, you know,
full very, on very like fight or flight mode. And which, you know, it was also very, I think that the acting score might be good in this one. I think the Liz actually like acts it out really, is played out really well, and like, you know, I felt it.
Me too.
She has another bad dream. And it's mostly – basically, it's, like, the same dream she's been having. But it's still very creepy. Like, he's telling her, like, he wants to kiss her, but she can't tell anybody. And, you know, she awakes abruptly after that nightmare as well. Like, holding on to like a stuffed animal for comfort. It's just like, this poor thing. Poor thing. Tessa's talking to Dorothy, and she's fed up. Dorothy. She's talking to Dorothy, and she's fucking fed up. She's like, listen, homeboy is moving too slow. I am horny. And, I don't know what's the deal. He's giving me mixed signals. Like, I think he's into me, but he's not trying to kiss me. Like,
yeah.
Which been there.
Oof. Oof. Yeah, it's a struggle. When does the struggle go away? I don't know. I think you get better. I think it's like, as you get older, I think you get, it's easier to kind of being like, hey, like, what's up? I think as you get older, it's easier to kind of be like, communicate like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, you know, kind of vibes. But I thought Tessa was quite mature for herself. She's like, listen, we just need to end things now. This is just not going to happen. Like,
she's like, we're clearly not compatible. Like, I don't have time. Like, I'm getting hot. Like, does she understand how hot I am right now? Like,
I know.
I could just be like dating like anybody else. And I'm sitting around waiting for him to make a move. Yeah. I wonder if I guess obviously dating has changed. The way we look at gender and dating has changed because Tessa noticeably said earlier that she can't make the first move because she's a girl. Right. And I'm wondering, like, would you say, as someone who is out in, you know, doing that dating thing, would you say out in the wild, would you say that pressure still – do you still feel like you have to adhere to that, like, as a woman, that you can't, like, make the first move, or?
No, I think it just depends on your comfort level. I think it depends on reading the type of person. Because I think as people in general, I think you can kind of read how a person is to begin with, like, how, because I feel like when you think of like a woman making the first move in, you know, a kind of traditional like heterosexual situation, like, it's quote unquote progressive, and so, like, you know, like, it's not traditional, and so you kind of, I think for me, like, if I can kind of tell that someone's like not a super traditional, like, macho, like, heterosexual male, you know, like, it's if I can pick that up initially, like, you know, just off like the vibes alone, you know, then I would be like, okay, like, I would be fine making the first move. I also think that, like, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, specifically with expats and like people living abroad. The fuckboy situation is rampant. It's an epidemic.
Interesting. Okay.
Just because everything about the kind of expat life and like living abroad as a foreigner and not like it's always the kind of temporary mindset that like at any point you can pick up and move and go somewhere else, either go back home or move to a different city. So there's kind of temporary mindset is very, very present. And so that just breeds fuckboy mentality.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it can kind of be I found that sometimes I'm more willing to be like kind of initiate like the first move, whether it be like kind of like flirtatious vibes or whatever, just because I'm like, well, I have nothing to lose, like, whatever. But then because of the idea that like guys are always like, well, if not you, then there's like so many others available here, or, you know, like, they're always in that mindset, like, there's this kind of mindset, especially with most males here in China, but definitely white males here, is that they could be an average looking attractive person, but they come to China and all of a sudden they have like a glow up. they go from like being like a 6 to an 8, or like, you know, like, So,
because especially if you're going from, I mean, like, let's be honest, white men are always at the top of the dating chain, like statistically. Mm-hmm. Asian women actually at the top of the, for amongst women, at the top of like the food, the dating food chain, but like in terms of being desirability. But that is interesting because then you do have the guys who, in the US here would not be.
Yeah, they come here and all of a sudden they're getting more attention.
I guess, but you get more attention and like you immediately are like, ooh, the shiny new thing.
But you they're like busted, so average. Like, it's like you're not ugly, but it's just like, boy, come on. Like, come on. So, yeah, there's just, it's a lot. And so the, I think for me, like, I don't have a problem with making the first move, but I definitely have to like kind of feel someone out and see what kind of person they are. Cause like, there's definitely been moments when like you make a first move, even if be like flirtatious, and they're like, so like, I like don't need a relationship right now. Like, I'm not looking for that. And it's like, whoa, sir, I just touched your arm. Like, I, there's like, they're like, that's happened too, where like they are, it's like the level of fear of like any sort of touch of commitment is like so strong that they're just like, oh my gosh, like don't get too attached. It's a lot. And I think so I kind of have to feel it out, like, first, because I feel like for people that behave that way, there's a lot of misogyny behind that. And there's a lot of like, it's like, oh, like you're making the first move on me. Like where's my power structure? Where did it go? And so I need to kind of already get a vibe that you're not already of that mindset to make the first move, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes total sense. Like, yeah, like you can't, but also, but then again, the kind of man who would have a problem with me making the first move would not be someone I want to date anyway.
Exactly.
But I think like the interesting thing about being like, I think there's like my sexuality too, is that it kind of does flip how you see like the politics of dating. Because it's like, I feel comfortable approaching people because it's like, well, what, like, does it matter? Like, you know, like, I mean, I've said it before, like, I was the one to make the first move with Evan, just because, like, I think I also, I think one, because of the way I see myself in terms of my gender, is just kind of like, whatever, like, if I like someone, like, I'm gonna try to talk to them. Like, I don't necessarily feel like I have to wait for them, because it's like, I'm just gonna go for it. And
because you're gonna be waiting forever, that's why.
Yeah, you're gonna wait forever. And also, like with him too, he's also just like a shy guy. Like, he's an Aquarius, I'm a Gemini, so like, you do the math. Like, I'm a talker, he's not. But like, I had to be the one to do it because I was like, I feel like he likes me, but I think that if I don't make the first move, he will never do it.
Right.
And yeah. So okay, so Tessa's talking. No, we did that. Okay, so Tim and Snake are talking about Liz. I love this show because things happen and then it's just people talking about the same thing for like the rest of the episode. It's just people talking to other people about other people. It's like nothing happens. But like Tim and Snake are talking about the Liz situation. And Tim's like genuinely like in the dark. He doesn't know what happened, what he did. Liz walks down the hall towards them and he tries to apologize, sweet boy. And she's just like not interested. And he's just like, it was just a good night kiss. But I'm like, to you, like, you just don't know what's going on with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one here is wrong. You both are like.
Exactly.
You know.
I think she's partially like I think she feels more embarrassed that she like had such a visceral reaction. I think like immediately after she was like, I think to some extent she probably was just like, oh, fuck. Like, why did you kiss me? Like, that's uncomfortable. I thought we were just friends. But I think also she was like, oh, my God, kind of embarrassed. Like, now he thinks I'm crazy. Like I had, like, yeah, he did try to kiss me, but it was like, it was just a kiss. And now I seem like this weirdo that like had, you know, I feel like she felt all of those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as kind of like annoyance at Tim, but also like embarrassed as well.
Yeah, and I think it also ties into, like, just the experience of having been abused. And she talks about it with Spike later, of, like, feeling dirty and feeling that kind of shame. And I think it's, like, she carries that, too. I think it's all folded into that whole experience of just, like, kind of wanting to run away from it because she feels very, very negative feelings about herself in relation to it, which is just – a damn shame, honestly.
It is.
But in our next scene, we see Spike. Did you catch it?
Oh, I thought you froze.
Oh, sorry. I froze, like, I stopped moving, but, like, right. I'm not
frozen. Yeah, I couldn't tell. So I was like, I don't know if that was for effect or if it, because, like, also you held that froze for that pose very well. This is Spike. Wait, what is she doing? Sorry, oh my god, the wig, the hair, the hair, the hair,
you,
the hair.
Thank you. What? I wrote, what is in Spike's hair? Lauren.
Listen.
What was that weave?
You know what? The more I think about it, the worse it gets. Number one, Spike, I think we have always prided, she has always had pride in her hair. She is also a daughter of a beautician that does hair.
Yeah.
So all of that being said, she should know better than to put that raggedy ass yarn mop of a ponytail on her fucking head.
And she attached it to her, because, like, Spike's normal look is that she has her, like, her spiky hair, like, kind of like a claw, like, bang in the front. Then she has, like, a half up, half down, do usually, like, a little ponytail, mm-hmm. and then she'll have a little bit in the back. And she has the ponytail attached to, like, the ponytail up top. So it's, like, a weird, like, horse's. It looks like a Barbie, like, you know, you get, like, the Barbie horse, and it's, like, a long tail you can brush. It's, like, curly, but after a while, it gets all matted and fucked up.
I was like, she's had the thing for about 6 months now. It got wet. Like, she stopped brushing it. Like,
that synthetic hair. And she's like, oh, you know what? She got dressed that morning. She was like, I know what this outfit needs. And she's going to fix up the ponytail. Flaps it on the back of her head.
There's just, it's so, also, like, okay, the more I looked at it, I feel like Cyndi Lauper had that kind of, like, messy, like, weird look. But
she did, but it was not, like, to this
extent. No, because
the messiness of Cyndi Lauper was more, like, the different colors and, like,
yes, kinda, like, a scarves lot of just, attached.
Yeah, scarves and stuff. Like, she didn't, I don't think she ever did that to her hair.
No.
Oh, Rapunzel, look at her ass.
Because at first I was like, because the way that they panned up to it, too, because at first when we see the hair, we see it at the bottom, so we don't realize. I was like, when did her hair get so long? And then they, like, pan up, and I was like, oh, my fucking God. Spike.
I had a what are those moment.
What are those? Like, Also, like, there's, like, five different curl patterns in it. Like, I'm pretty sure half of it is just yarn, like a special sort of spiral yarn.
Curly, it's like dreadlocks. There's like a crimp situation. God. You know what she looked like? Have you ever seen the music video? You know who Taylor Dane is?
No.
She sang Tell It to My Heart.
Okay, yeah.
Tell it to my heart. Yes. When we're done with this. Actually, no. I'm gonna find the music video and do a clip, and we have to post on social media because it's like it's perfect. And in that music video, Taylor Dane has a weave, and it's looks the same way. It's like curly. It's wavy. It's like very like a different color from her actual hair. It's very clearly fake, and it looks crazy. Like not crazy in like a cool way. It looks like deranged, right. Like how Spike looks. And I was like, she looks like Taylor Dane. I wonder if she had seen that and was like, I want to look like that today.
I mean, this was a fashion moment because it was very much of the time where it's like, oh, white girls trying out weave that like is bad on purpose. Like it's ugly on purpose. And that's
Think this is like before we really figure out weaves. Like this is like early like weaves. Like really like we were not. People had weaves, but like not, they weren't that popular yet the way like they are now where like weaves are like not even clockable. Like you wear a weave and people think it's your hair. I think this was like the period where we just had not figured it out yet. And Spike said, I don't care if y'all don't figure it out. I'm wearing it. And she stuck it in the back of her head.
Again, like literally it's just like everything because like there's also like different layers to it. There's short pieces. There's like extremely long pieces. Like When I first looked at it, I'm like, oh my god. It almost reminds me of like those Paris Hilton extensions. Yeah. Where it's just like, we're not going to try to cut this to make it blend into your hair. We're just going to attach it. And yes. There's going to be your hair and the extensions. But this is like that on fucking steroids. And it's terrible and atrocious. And we just kept seeing it over and over again. And I'm like, no, please just take it away. Just take it away.
Yeah, it was wild. I don't know what she was thinking, but you couldn't tell Spike nothing. She said, listen, y'all about to get this. Y'all about to get these bundles, okay?
Look at these inches, honey.
Look at my inches, honey. Like, she spikes. I got that. I got that Brazilian. I got that Yaki. I got that Malaysian. I got that synthetic. She got everything in her.
It's really like, it's literally like they're like, oh, but like the discounted like pieces that are left over out after trying to like make tracks, and then like she just made it into like a ponytail bundle and like attached it, and that's what happened.
Yeah,
all the textures.
She went to her mom's hair shop, and like as her mom was cutting people's hair, she's would collect fallen pieces, and like was just like, and her mom was like, because her mom makes her sweep up the hair, and she's like, but her mom doesn't know that she's sweeping up the hair to put it into her wig piece. She's just like building this wig.
Oh dear,
all discarded human hair.
You're probably right.
But anyway, in music class, Tim is playing the piano. I'm pretty sure the actor actually was playing. Like, I think he's like, you know, he sings. He's singing like the Degrassi Talks theme. Like, she's a musical kid. And also,
this was so random because, like, since when do they have music class in Degrassi? Like, this has never been a thing. We've never
seen this room before. Like, the school keeps growing parts. Like, it's just like, oh, they have like a music room. And Snake is like, he's like a jazz singer. He's like draped across and like snapping his, like, what is this? It's not like 1930s Harlem. Like, what is he doing?
Tim's like, sit down Snake, please. I'm a real musician, okay, please stop.
Yeah. Oh, and Tim is also tie-dyed out. He has a full like fit.
Oh, he's living his best 90s life right now.
Oh yeah, he's got the hair, he's got the tie-dye. Like, Tim is like giving us his turning a look. But he goes up to Spike, who plays a flute, apparently. did not know. Also, Simon plays a trumpet. You see him in the back.
Yes. I feel like they, like, the school that they filmed at, like, all of a sudden, like, they filmed after school or something, and they, like, found that the music room was open, and just, like, they're like, here's some music instruments. We're going to film a scene. Blow into this, you know, like
pretend like you know how to hold this. Simon's like has the trumpet upside down, he's trying to play, and they're like, no, you're wrong. So Tim goes up to Spike and he's like, what's going on with your girl? And he tells her he tried to kiss her, and he wants Spike to tell Liz that he's sorry. And shortly thereafter, Liz is sitting in the library by herself when Spike shows up, and she attempts to relay Tim's message to Liz, but she like is just not receptive. And Spike says, what is it with you and guys anyway? Which again, so it just confirms that the episode out of order, because like,
yeah,
you know what's up with her. You guys fought about it last episode.
Yeah, exactly. And Liz is very just like very closed, like she's like shutting it down. She's like, listen. Oh, this is when they get into like a kind of like tiff.
When Liz like fucking like, do you remember what she says? Do you write it down?
Not word for word, but like, you know, Spike is kind of being like hard, like almost like kind of teasing her, being like, hey, what is it with you with guys? Like, you know, like it's just, you know, so Spike says like something is like, oh, it's only kiss. Like who, like it's just a kiss at the end of the first, like after hanging out. Like, what's the big deal? And then Liz was like, well, I could see how easy it was for you to get pregnant.
Yeah, I was like, damn. I actually did an audible like, oh, like,
yep.
Shit, yep. Girl. Like, I know you going through some stuff, but damn, that's below the belt. Like, you kicked her in the uterus where her baby came from.
Exactly. Have you heard that TikTok audio where it's like, it's like two people being like arguing back and forth and like with comebacks, and it's like, And so it's kind of like, someone's like, well, that's why you're stupid. And then someone goes, "What?" And that's why your mama's dead. Dead as hell. Yep.
Shit. It's like, no, I have not seen that.
It's like always like the argument when someone eventually goes too far. It's like, well, that's why your mama's dead. Dead as hell. And it's like, oh, did you have to go there? That's how it was with this episode. It's like, that's why you got pregnant at 13. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucked up. I was like, wow, Liz. Also, like, up until this point, Liz has been very sympathetic in this episode. And that was one moment where I was like, ah, there's our girl. I was like, there she is. I kid. She's going through some shit. So Spike, right. But Spike takes it. Spike is an empath because she takes it well, because you can see she's hurt. And she's like,
yeah,
that was a cheap shot. And then she's like, my friend is hurting clearly. And she's like, I'm here for you. When you want to talk, we can talk about it. And I was like, wow, Spike is really like, having a baby really maybe really matured her. Because right? She like was for real like, she calls you a straight up slut, basically. And she was like, hurt people, okay? Talk to me, you're right. I'm like, please.
Mic drop, walks out of the room.
Yeah, oh, I was like, God. Good for you. If that was me, I would have been ready to throw hands if she had said that to me. I would have dropped my book bag. I'm like, okay, let's go, bitch. I would take my weave out real quick.
Go. Hold my earrings. Let's go.
Oh, here, hold my hairpiece. Throw it.
Oh, because you know, that thing is so fucking ratty and long that, like, Liz would have gotten one, like, hand on it and, like, been able to, like, whip and swing Spike around her head. Like,
and you know, Spike is already really petite, too, so you can very easily just, like, whip her, like, lasso her.
For sure.
With her hair. For sure. So Tessa's outfit is cute in this next scene. She has a little like fruit polo with matching pink skirt. I was like, you need to dress Alex. Like, you need to give him some tips because she's a cute little preppy fit going on. Mm-hmm. And he's still wearing the same outfit he wears every fucking day. And might I remind you, the outfit is a blazer and shorts. So Tessa pulls Alex into the band room and she confronts him about how standoffish he's been. And then he, like, kisses her. He, like, takes, he grabs her and, like, passionately kisses her. And she's like, She's like, I'm wet.
Okay. So this is actually really funny. He, like, it's very dramatic. He whips off his Coke bottle glasses.
And you know he can see shit after he did that. He was like, oh, where'd she go?
The fact that the kiss landed is really a miracle.
Yeah. Same.
But he did, so in Chinese, my students told me about this. It's like an internet word or like an internet phrase that in Chinese they have. We don't really have it in English, but there's a phrase for like that moment in movies and TV that like the kiss happens where like either like someone like slams you up against the wall and puts their hand in the wall. Mm-hmm. And like you're kind of like trapped there, but in like a romantic way. And so that's kind of what Alex did. Tessa was trying to like open the door and he like sticks his arm out. And puts his palm on the wall. And then, Tessa's like, and then he kisses her.
She loved it.
She loved it. But was, so there's a phrase for that in Chinese. Like, they have, like the way we say it, like, oh, like, I stand, like, I ship them. Like, they have a phrase for that kind of in Chinese for that moment that happens. And I remember it was funny because for, like, when you are, like, hanging out with friends or, like playing like a game or whatever, whenever there's like a loser in the game, like if you're playing Uno, for example, the person that would lose, there's always like a punishment, like an embarrassing punishment that they have to do. Uh-huh. Kind of like, or like, you know, like maybe like a dare or something, like that would be the punishment. You have to dare someone to do something. And one of the popular dares would always be like, they have to do the phrase in Chinese is actually the sound that someone's hand makes when they hit the wall. It's like, dun. Like, that's the, they have to do the dun.
Like, do they have to, like, physically throw themselves up against the wall or just hit the wall?
No, it's almost like, it's instead of, like, daring for you to kiss someone, you have to dare someone to dun someone. It's so... ridiculous because they're so shy about it that it's like, ooh, like they're and there's no kissing that happens. They literally
do you just have to like push the person up against the wall? Like,
no, so like the way it's so I need to find a video so I can post it on Instagram. There's So you would dare so and so to duh another person. And so
wait, and do they like say duh? Like they're like duh. Yeah, like you have to duh. Okay. Yes. I was waiting for you to say a word like Mandarin. He's like, no, they're saying duh. No.
I forgot. I was like, what's the Chinese word? I was like, oh right, like it's literally just the sound that your hand makes after it hits the wall. So like you would have to. It's like they would have, instead of like 3 minutes in heaven or whatever, like you would have to like, it happens in front of everyone. So like the person that's doing the punishment is the one that has to put the hand in the wall, and then they have to pick someone to like do it to. So like they go over to like a flat surface on the wall. and then the girl's like laughing and giggling, and then all of a sudden like they like have to be like, it's weird because it's like this moment of like very like sexual moment of like, and then they like put their hand to the wall and like kind of lean in, and then it's over.
It's so that's adorable. I love that.
It's so adorable, but it's like also it's just like it's very intimate. Like it's very, very intimate. I'm like, are we supposed to all be watching this? This is uncomfortable. But like,
I think
also,
it's like the way that you get away with intimacy in like a safe mm-hmm. in a safe way, because it's like no one's actually like having like you're kept kissing, not touching, but you're still right. doing the thing that you like that gets you a little like hot. But like it's played off as like, oh ha 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 ha, we're all like, ha, I have to dunk so and so, like I don't even like her. Come here, let me dunk you, and then you do it. You're like. But he's like full on hard, just like, oh, like, I love this. You know, but it's like a safe space. And she's giggling, like, no. But in her head, she's just like, mm-hmm. like so hot.
Yeah. So, like, I'm sure.
If I was 15 and a boy had to do that to me, I would absolutely have been like laughing. But my head,
Oh my God.
Like, I know. Like, I had a nosebleed. She's like, ugh.
I know, exactly. Like, it, instead of being like, when was your first kiss? It's like, when was your first duh? Like,
I think, okay, you have to find a video and post that. That's like adorable.
Okay.
That's so funny. I love that.
Yeah. And it's just funny because, like, they're when I first saw them doing it, they were in college. And college is kind of the first time that, like, Chinese kids or teenagers can, like, be teenagers. So, like, they're like, not much younger than me, but they're like full on like 13-year-old mentality, so it's cute.
Aw, I love that. Yeah. That's adorable. Mm-hmm. Duh. Okay. So I'm gonna dunk Evan after this and like my corner him in the kitchen. He's gonna be like, can you move? He's like, can you move? Like, wait. The number of times he tells me I'm annoying is just like. And I'm like, ah, but you love it. Okay, so Joey is struggling to fix his car yet again, his mm-hmm. jalopy. Struggle. And Dwayne walks over and asks him, like, he's like, oh, we're your little friends. And apparently, Zip and Romney are like, yo, this car don't work. Like, we fuck you, Joey. Like,
bye.
Like, after our last experience with you having to walk from, like,
I forgot about that, yeah.
The whole thing, they're like, whatever. So they're not around, and Joey's like, I can't afford to take the car to the garage anymore. So he's just like kind of fucked. And I think it's become kind of like a popular joke that he has a busted car, because the couple walks by and they're like, nice car, Joey. It's like everyone knows about this fucking busted car. So but Dwayne knows about cars, and he just gets in there and starts fixing. And so here's my thing. I love right. that we're seeing Dwayne kind of like softening up to Joey, and they have like a moment of friendship. But this is something I hate, and I get, like, for the sake of character development, narrative, it happens. I personally hate when shows take a tough character in order to show them being soft. They have to go through a horrific trauma. And Liz is kind of, it plays into this, too, because up to this point, Liz is kind of, like, she's unlikable. Like, she's not a very likable character. Maybe a level of misogyny, because she is very tough, and but also she does some fuck shit, like, you know.
Right.
You know, carry out a hate campaign against a girl who just had an abortion.
Right.
You know, justified hate. But, like, I feel like in an effort to tell us a story about this experience, but also about this character, they lean into this whole, like, we have to see them go through a rape or HIV or violence or abuse. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I get why it happens, but it's annoying, because it's like I wish we could have seen Dwayne be a nice person and he didn't have to have HIV for it to happen. Because had it not happened, he would still be a dick, is the implication. Like, oh, HIV is why he's nice now. because he feels bad about himself because we find out that he's talking about suicide. He's like, my parents don't know about it, and if I tell them, like, they're gonna kill me, it's gonna be a whole thing. And Joey makes a joke about, like, well, at least you won't have to kill yourself. And he finds some, like, he's able to laugh at himself, but, like, he is someone who's very much, like, kind of at his bottom. And it's just kind of, like, you know. But Joey gets the car up and running, and he gets a ride with him, which was nice, but, you know.
Yeah.
Hell freezes over.
Exactly. I wanted to read one of the YouTube comments, because someone else had kind of mentioned that as well, about that kind of, like, TV trope that is used a lot. So Fernando from 2 years ago says, it bothers me when they give a really mean character a tragic backstory. I feel bad for Liz, but it's still hard to like her. Good morally gray characters need good characteristics, not just a backstory. That being said, I do love Degrassi for covering difficult issues such as CSA.
Child sexual abuse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they did this. And then someone replied, Degrassi High did the same thing with Kathleen's tragic backstory, alcoholic mother, an eating disorder, and an abusive boyfriend. That's like that kind of, then it's like, yeah, it's very weird. It's kind of that, you know,
it's in the same vein, because then it's like, instead of showing them, like, I understand. So here's the thing. I understand people when they, you know, hurt people. People can have negative experiences that affect the way they interact with other people. Sometimes people are just assholes. Sometimes people just don't have a backstory. They just are dicks because they just are. And I think that it's kind of a cop-out, like, to what Fernando said. It's more interesting you have a character who's just morally gray, where it's like we see them be good and bad, and it's like – they have their bad moments, have their good moments, but we can empathize with them because they're human, as opposed to just having a shitty character and then be like, but they had trauma, and that's, like, it. And we never actually see them be nice, ever. Like, it's just kind of like, it just kind of explains away their behavior, as opposed to, like, kind of giving us a full character. I think, like, Kathleen's different. I think we've seen Kathleen kind of – we've seen other sides of Kathleen's. I'm like, she's growing. Liz, we have only seen one note Liz, and then this thing happens, and then it's like, I don't know if we see her be nice later, but it also shouldn't be because the person experienced trauma and we learn about it, so then now they're nice. It's just like a weird thing that I think that they kind of fuck up with these shows a lot. And I think that Next Gen does a little bit better, but they also lean into the same tropes of, like, let's have the mean character get raped. And that makes them nice, because then now they are empathetic, and now we're nice to them. It's like, I don't like that. Like, it's weird, especially when it's girls, and it's like a very common trope of having a very, like, assertive, in your face, tough female character get raped, and then that makes her softer. It's like, that the implications. Yeah, I don't think they mean to say this, but the implications is like, they broke her now. So now she's like, nice. It's a little bit gross, and I don't like that.
Yeah. It's the fact that it happens, like, so often in TV and movies, it's like, well, the only way to take down, like, the ultimate
humbling,
like, thing. Yeah. The ultimate thing to take down a woman is sexual abuse. And it's like, why is this everything? It's like, it gets dark very quickly once you start thinking about it. It's like,
The implications are gross, and I think it's not intentional by the creators, but, like, it wouldn't matter if it was isolated. If in an isolated situation this happened one time, I wouldn't think about it. But when you see it happen in TV and movies repeatedly, of, like, a lot of times the bitchy head bitch character, I mean, like, Degrassi does it several other times. Like,
Paige.
Spoiler Paige, you have the alpha bitch gets raped, and then she, because of the rape, now she gets nicer, and it's like, what are we saying here? That, like, what I'm saying is that I want the person can get raped and still be a bitch after, and that's okay too.
Hello,
because people
exactly. are exactly. It's like someone like, it's just so many things.
Like, two things can be true. Like, you know, I can empathize with this character and her experience, but also recognize, like, oh, but they're still, like, a shitty person. But, like, one is not dependent on the other. And it's like, Anyway, exactly. We'll definitely talk about this more in the future because it's going to happen several times in Degrassi. And yeah. Okay. So anyway, so Spike's at home with Emma. They're playing in their little baby pool. And
this added to the Canadian 90s because I was like, those pools just remind me of my childhood, like filled with hose water and like grass and dirt. It's just like the dirtiest water.
And the baby's just like in there. It's like, mm-hmm. Hope she had her shots. Hope you're not anti-vax because she's going to need a shot. Liz shows up and they're talking about Emma. Emma's really tough. She's like, and she beat up some boy, whatever. And Liz tells Spike about her abuse and that basically it was her mom's boyfriend when she was a kid who was abusing her while her mom was away at work. And the reason why they moved was because after her mom found out, they left. And that's why she's here. And she says that most times she can forget about it, but it's very obvious that right now she's really dealing with PTSD and it's affecting her ability to have intimacy. And this scene is really good. I think her acting has really improved from her, Joey, get out, I hate you. Like, she really is, like, so good in this. Like, she's actually really good.
Exactly. I thought it was so good. I thought the scene, this is one of those scenes where they really, really sat in it. I would watch it. I need to watch it again because it's, I want to say it's like, it's a continuous shot. Like, it's not. If it's not, it's pretty continuous. It's not mm-hmm. super like cut and stuck together. And the she goes into a lot of detail of like what was happening, and like Spike is sitting there like listening and just being there for her, as her friend is kind of like it's very like in a kind of therapeutic sense, like kind of reliving it and sharing her experience.
Yeah. As they watch Emma, which I think also contextualizes like Spike's, mm-hmm. like that could be your daughter, like, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it, and I thought, I agree, Liz did a very, very, the actress that played Liz did a very good job of like, just like portraying what that emotion could be like. Like, it wasn't that overplayed, like really, really crying and like sobbing kind of thing. But the sadness was very much there. The trauma was there. The PTSD was there. Mm-hmm. And so I thought she did a very good job in portraying that.
Yeah, totally agree. It was really well done. And Spike encourages her to, you know, being a good friend, you know, to go speak to someone who can help her, and they hug, which is like, that was nice. That was nice. I love that the focus on this episode was less of like, tell someone this happened to you. And this, because we, like, her mom knows, like, it happened. Right. Like, it's not like she needs to tell like an adult, like someone knows that it happened and that she's been removed from the situation. I like that it was more about the after effects and like speaking to someone even after it's no longer happening. It's important to still process those emotions. Exactly. So I like that was the focus of the message, which I think is really helpful. At school, Yik and Arthur see Alex and Tessa get to school and he's like, hey kids, like, we're official now, like, gonna finger bang. Like, he's so like super like excited with his girl as they walk into the school. And I'm just like, do better, Tessa. Like, Tessa, like, you can do so much better, sweetie.
Tessa,
babe.
You know that she's starting to like feel like, oh, I don't know if I like this. Like, you know, it's like when he's like, it's not, I'm trying to think of like, there's a switch that can happen sometimes when you're like talking to someone and you're like, oh, you're like, either you're too into this or like you're at a different level than I am. And it's like, oh, this is, I don't know. I feel like we're in different places. I think we need to like just like take a little bit of a break. I don't know. Like, just like focus on ourselves, you know?
I'm just like trying to fix me. And my hot girl shit. Yeah, I'm going through like a lot of like changes right now. And I'm just like wanting to like focus and like really center myself and like evaluate like where I'm at before like I bring anyone into the situation. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. In our final scene, Liz goes to the music room where Tim is, he's sitting wistfully playing his piano. I think he should have had, like, a cigarette, like, in his, like, oh, in his yeah. mouth, just, like, and glasses on his tip of his nose. He's just, like, doing his full, like, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, like, I don't know, some, like, jazz pianist or whatever. And she comes into the room, and she apologizes. And I love that he apologizes back. And he's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, I, you know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, da da da. And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, he's a sensitive king. I love it. Mm-hmm. She just, you know, she doesn't divulge, like, what happened to her, because she doesn't have to. It's not his business.
Exactly.
And so she tells him that she's just really shy about relationships right now, but she'd like to be his friend. And he's like, yeah. And it ends.
I love that.
Yeah.
So friends. Ugh.
Yeah. That was the episode.
That was a good one. I feel like they did a good job. They did this well. I feel like they handled it well. Especially for the, because obviously we've kind of talked already in Degrassi Junior High about, like, inappropriate behavior from adult, mm-hmm. and, like, in the moment when it's happening, you know, you need to tell someone, or how to tell someone, and, you know, not to keep that a secret. I think they kind of, like, address that to some extent, like, in a kind of younger way.
Yes.
But still serious. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, this is kind of, like, you know, this is kind of weird, but the reality of, like, as you're getting older, the obviously predatory behavior still exists when you get older, but mm-hmm. I guess it's different. So it's like, I like think about, like, when you start to get older, either the things can change, but also, like, you're starting to, you know, in Liz's kind of sense, things that may have happened to you in the past, mm-hmm. you're processing it now, or you're processing it differently. Mm-hmm. And dealing with the after effects. So I like that they focused on that this episode.
Mm-hmm. Especially now that she's maturing, like, the challenges mm-hmm. she's going to face are going to be very different than when she was a little kid. So for her, it was like,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know what she faces as a kid, but maybe, like, feeling safe. Now it's like, you know, there's dating and sex. Mm-hmm. Like, this, you know, we can kind of project, you know, when she gets older, maybe when she starts being interested in having sex, and how that's going to affect her, mm-hmm. especially if she doesn't get help and doesn't, like, talk to somebody and tries to process the trauma. So, yeah, I agree. I like that we saw a different side than what mm-hmm. we've been used to seeing, because I think it's just it's a little, like, more mature and, like, updated. Yeah. Have you got YouTube for us?
Yeah, so I've just got two more, other than the commentary about the kind of, you know, give a bad character something bad happened to them so they become good. Besides that. So just two. So Andrea from 1 year ago says, Yik had the best glow up of his grade, which I could not agree more. I am obsessed with Yik. I can't stop saying it. And CDOS from 2 years ago says, so I want to say this, that this, the avatar for this person, she has a black woman in her avatar. So I'm assuming that she's a black woman. Mm-hmm. And I assume that this is being said as sarcastic. Spike's hair keeps getting better and better. We love a trendy queen who takes fashion risks.
Oh, that's definitely sarcasm. There's definitely no way anyone saw her hair and was like, oh, I should try that. It's like, you know.
Right? But that's all I've got for you this week.
Loved it. No, I love it. I love it. I love it. God, I love it so much. Which Degrassi episodes do you watch? Like, which channel do you watch it off of? Out of curiosity.
Let's see. I can look on my screenshot. Or maybe I can't see it. I think it's the one that has a playlist. There's a few playlists, but I'm trying to think. Let me see.
Is that the Degrassi one? Is it called Degrassi?
Hold on. Yeah, Degrassi TV series.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. It was really more out of curiosity. It doesn't really matter, okay. Honestly. I just was curious. That's the same one I watch. So, do we want to do a ranking system?
Let's do it.
Out of 40, 4-0 Trapper Keepers, starting with 90s Canadianness, out of 10 Trapper Keepers, how 90s and how Canadian was this episode?
We had two A's.
We sure did.
By Alex, which we, surprisingly, we don't get as often as two Americans that are not Canadian. I assumed that there would be more A's.
That's true. I think a lot of Americans assume Canadians say A like every sentence. Yeah. And it's like, we only hear it, like, it gets peppered in a little bit.
I also, to our listeners, our Canadian listeners, I have a question about, is there a certain region of Canada that says A more often? I'm curious about that. And number, because I'm thinking, like, you know, when, like, people, like, think of, like, an American accent, they, like, strictly go, like, hey, y'all! Like,
yeah,
let's get some good. Like, it's always, like, a Southern accent. So,
yeah.
And, like, not everyone says, like, American things all the time. So I'm wondering about, with A, if that's from a certain region. So
that's a good question.
Let us know, listener.
Yeah.
And we had the kiddie pool that's always
dirty.
Outside Walmart.
Dirty,
like,
kiddie
it's
pool.
Always an they always have, like, the stack of them outside Walmart for sale. And what else?
I think kind of like the gender norms of Dad and Tessa, I think, was very, like, of the time.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
Kind of like, oh, like, I can't make the first move. I think it's evergreen. I think people, even today, probably still have that attitude, but I think less. It would be a little bit less, like, I think there'd be more of, like, oh, like, why don't you make the move? Like, it'd be more obvious, like, then you go for it, as opposed to, like, like, I have to wait for Alex, because, like, he just doesn't get the hint. If he doesn't get the hint, I have to break up with him, you know, like, that kind of thing. I think that gets it a little bit.
I agree. I would say, let's see, maybe, like, 7? I'm, like, thinking 7 or 8.
I think 7.
Okay.
I agree with 7. Because it's not, like, too iconic. It's just, like, a little right, moment, a few moments. So fashion, I was thinking, we get the Tim's tie-dye. We get his Basquiat hair. We have a cute little outfit moments from Tessa, a little, like, kind of preppy, like, early 90s, like, girl next door look.
Spike's hair.
Hairs.
Quote, unquote, hair. Attached to her head,
it's questionable.
Or, material attached to her head.
Someone was like, "You got a nest on your head, girl." Yeah, which really, like, I mean, I think her hair might have been bizarre for even, like, 1990, honestly. But I don't know. It was definitely a choice.
Exactly. I think I guess, like, Cindy, like, that kind of, like, messy look, you know, like, when you know what I'm going to look back on, maybe, like, with 2020s, like, remember, like, the wet look was in for a while?
The 2020s? The wet look?
Yeah, like, remember, like, a few years ago, or, like, a year ago, like, the wet look where it was, like...
Oh, like, the kind of slick back, like, kind of a Kim Kardashian, like, wet.
But also, like, put, like, so much, like, product into, like, before it'd be like, oh, your hair is greasy, but it's like, no, it's wet. Like, it's a wet look.
Yeah. That was definitely, like, a trend for, like, a hot second, like, very quickly. Because I think if you did it now, it'd be like, I don't think I ever saw anyone do it in real life. I think I only saw celebrities or, like, in magazines. I don't think I ever saw anyone walk around looking wet. And I think if I did, I would have been like, why is your hair wet? Like, exactly. How's your hair not dried yet? Like, it's been hours.
And I feel like that's kind of, like, with Spike's hair, it's like, okay, we've seen celebrities wear this, but, like, with you at, like, Degrassi High, it's just kind of, like, a lot. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it'd be like if you saw someone, like, on Degrassi showed up with, like, a cone bra, like Madonna. It's like, yeah, it works when she does it. Like, you just wearing cone bra is strange. Like, why do you have a cone bra on?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was a choice.
Yeah. So then maybe, like, 8?
I think an 8, because it's like we had some moments. We had some moments this episode.
Yeah, definitely stood out. Acting. How are thespians?
I would say I kind of want to give it maybe like a high score, like maybe an 8 as well. I think Liz did a very good job. All the acting in this episode is like really decent.
I agree. I think 8. I think that like especially Liz in particular like really served it up and was able to carry a heavy episode. So good for her. And plot, did it go there?
Yes, I kind of want to give it a 10.
Yeah. It may not have the biggest, like, effect in terms of, like, the character, like, the general story of Degrassi. But it was a pretty, like, heavy one and, like, took on a pretty serious.
Very serious and, like, very, like, yo, this is what child sexual abuse is. And, like, we're showing it like we're portraying like a room scene, like, you know, like it's a lot.
It is. So that leaves Crossed Wires at 33 Trapper Keepers out of 40, which puts it in the third place spot. Right now our top five, we have Bad Blood Parts 1 and 2, A New Start Parts 1 and 2, Cross Wires at number 3, Body Politics at number 4, and Just Friends at number 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good episodes.
Okay. So, for our songs this week, I think I'm going to go first.
Yes.
That's the order now. I had two lined up, so I'm going to pick one right now out of the two. I was like, I'm going to decide after we talk and see how I'm feeling. All right, I'm going to go with Everybody Hurts, R.E.M., which I feel like now it's kind of like the song is kind of a cliche now because I feel like it's used a lot to kind of like be like, oh, like my life, look at this terrible, look at this bad thing that happened to me.
But it's like playing like all by myself. It's just like,
yes,
kind of
corny. When it first came out, it was actually like, oh shit, like this is talking about some dark stuff. Like, don't when you're feeling dark, like everybody feels dark, like you can get through this. Don't let it end, kind of like darkness. But now it's like very much a cliche. But I was like re-listening to it and I was like, okay, for the time, because it came out, I want to say, in 93.
So, okay, I'm glad you chose a song that was a little bit later because I did too.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm trying to still like stay around around the same time. But, you know, this is, you know, our last season in the 90s. So I'm like, let's just live our life in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, yes, I chose R.E.M., Everybody Hurts, which, you know, for the time, you know, it was a really big song of just like when you're a teen, like feeling, you know, if you're Tessa, you know, being like, oh my gosh, I can't get kissed, or who else is going through shit? Tim being like, why is Liz so mad at me? I just try to kiss her. I really like her.
Yeah.
Or Joey, if you're like
in his car.
Joey with your car. Or if you're literally Liz, like dealing with like the harshest shit of all, like every, like, you know, like, cause as a teen, like everything feels that dramatic. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even though as adults now we see them as, you know, like, they're obviously not comparable, but you know, but at the same time, it's like you could see them like being in their bed, like with the, like their radio, you know, like next to their boombox,
just like holding their pillow in bed, just like crying.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like as a teen, like Everybody Hurts, like sometimes, you know.
That's a good song. I like R.E.M.
Yeah,
I feel like they're one of those bands that are just very quintessential early 90s. Like R.E.M. is like.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And like, and we're the voice of a generation. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely capture the feeling of the time. Like, you know, R.E.M. is like that. Yeah. Cool. I love that. So I went with a song that came out in 94. 1994, so around the same time as you. And I was thinking, I've been listening to a lot of Riot Girl lately. I have a really great, it's called my angsty white girl, angsty 90s white girl playlist, which is like a lot of like Slater Kinney and like Bikini Kill and just like, God, like angry privileged girls being sad about being yes. in, but then they're also white and never addressing that in their lives. You know, but I do love that music. I love that era a lot. And I was thinking about Liz, and like Liz in a few years is definitely going to be a fucking Riot Girl. Like she's oh, primed yes. and ready. She's at a sweet spot. Like when she goes to college, she's going to full on like fuck the patriarchy. Like she's going to go back to her yeah. Chelsea haircut. Just like, yes, like I'm here. Yeah. Like not shaving my armpits anymore. Like fuck yep, men, you know? Yep. So I went with the song by Hole, Courtney Love's band. Asking for It, which is in their I love this album, the Live Through This album that had like Doll Parts and Miss World and Jennifer's Body and all these wonderful, wonderful songs of the era.
Jennifer's Body was also on my list of possible songs.
Ooh, yes, that's a good one. Yeah, I actually considered it too. Yeah. I was like, oh, should I do Jennifer's Body? But I was like, yeah. I was like, no, because that one's more like about like a murder. So I was like,
I know that's. That, I read the lyrics. I was like, it's just dark in a different way.
Yeah. So I went with Asking for It because it is about assault, and she wrote it after. I didn't know this. I was reading about the song on Wikipedia. About like her this stage diving incident that happened in Glasgow. Did you realize? Shit. Yeah. So she like back in like 91, she said that she was performing the band and she stage dived and she was wearing a dress and she was like as being like carried by the crowd. People were like literally like some people like put assaulted fingers me. Inside of me, like grabbed my breath, like they were like cussing at me in my ears. Like it was very like to the point where she actually like. They were like taking like her clothes off, like she was being ugh. Assaulted. And it's interesting because she's like, oh yeah, but in a way, she said I can't compare it to rape because it's not the same. I was like, no, that was an assault. Like that was
it's still assault.
Totally yeah. not okay. What happened? And she's like, literally, she said she got back on stage, she was naked. Like they had like taken her clothes. It was very bad. And this is what inspired the writing of the song. I just think it was just kind of interesting, like because it's such an angry, like visceral, like. Pissed off song in a very understandable way, but it also is intercut with like the kind of like the opening is like kind of like an acoustic guitar and it's kind of like jingle jangly and then like breaks out into this very like angry feeling. And I think it's like I think kind of it kind of reflects Liz's experience, but I think also just like of you know I think many women have if not have been assaulted have experienced like just not wonderful experiences with men or just like boundary crossing things where you do feel that mix of like sadness and vulnerability like the acoustic guitars but then also the fucking like anger that this happened to you. And it's like that kind of I think is what Liz is. It's like she's very much like a vulnerable like very wounded person. She's very raw but also like she's pissed because she's pissed this yeah. awful thing happened to her and now she has to carry it for the rest of her life. So Asking for It, and I also just love that song a lot.
That is a great choice.
Thank Damn. You.
This is a good week of music.
It was, yeah. I'm probably going to listen to it again tonight. Listen to it like twice a day. Yeah. But that was our episode. Next week, we are doing a fun one. Thank God. The all-nighter. Synopsis. Melanie's surprise sleepover promises to hold more than one surprise when Kathleen finds some marijuana, baby. Kathleen came up with the smokes, boy. About to toke up. So I'm like, yes. A fun, like, weed. You know, the girls are getting high. Melanie's house.
Yes. We've been waiting for it.
So it's going to be a fun episode, you know. And damn, we are 5 episodes away from the end of Degrassi High. Like we are almost done with this and we're gonna move into Next Gen, which should be exciting. Y'all keep reaching out to us with if you have any suggestions for the show or like we're about to start a new thing. So reach out, like what would you like to see with when we get to Next Gen? Like I was hoping we could keep doing a ranking system, but maybe we want to change up the point system. Like, do you guys have suggestions of things we could do? Mm-hmm. I'm personally excited. I want to keep doing the music stuff. I think it'll be very fun to do like an early aughts, like,
oh my God,
Degrassi playlist is gonna be very fun. I'm also gonna make a new playlist for Spotify because it's been a journey. I have a new login, but now I can't add music to the old one because like it's locked. So I just have to make a new one and just redo it. So I'll have to go back and change the link so people can get Spotify. But I promise you, I will have that done because, you know, I know I said it like 6 episodes ago. Anyway, so
yeah. They're doing great. They're fine.
Anything else to plug, Lauren?
Nope. I think that's pretty much it. But yeah, we, of course, if you guys forgot or if you skipped ahead past our intro, we are going to be on this Thursday. So by the time you hear this, after you hear this episode, on Thursday, a new episode is dropping of Still Not Ready. We are on their podcast, Amy and Britt, talking about the other Canadian teen drama from the 90s, Ready or Not. So
yes,
check that out if you haven't already. It'll be out Thursday, the 25th. So of February.
Also, like, if like when you listen, like, be sure to drop like rate and review their podcast. Also rate and review our podcast because we like to get your reviews. It helps drive traffic to the podcast when you rate and review. So give us a few stars. Give us write a little something. Just, you don't have to write anything long. Just be like, wow, this podcast changed my life. And something real simple like that. Something profound. Like very low stakes. But guys, keep listening. We will catch you next week. See you later. Talk to you later, broomheads. Talk to you later, broomheads.
Bye, broomheads.